Okay, good morning, everybody. It's Friday, and it's another edition of Clean and Sober. My name is Steve Martoreno. Over there, smiling, Gary Hendler, my partner and friend and co-host of this program. Hello, Gary.
Steve, good morning. How are you?
I'm terrific. You've had an interesting week. We're gonna get into that straight ahead. But first, by way of introducing ourselves, which we try to do every Friday, the program Clean and Sober is about trying to get and stay clean and sober. We talk about the disease of addiction in a multitude of fashions, and we leave you, we hope, at the end of the hour, with at least the message that there's help out there. There's all kinds of help out there. But one of my favorite expressions, as you know, Gary, is they don't deliver help. You gotta go look for it. You gotta go figure out where it is. We have a really interesting take on that notion of help with a guest in the studio today that we are real pleased could join us. Melissa Killeen is a recovery coach, and she joins us on Clean and Sober this morning. Good morning, Melissa.
Good morning, Gary. Good morning, Steve.
Now, okay, so what's a recovery coach?
Right, that's the big question, isn't it?
Recovery coach. What does a recovery coach do?
Well, a recovery coach is someone that helps an individual get sober. And they're a little bit different from a sponsor, that they work with the individual every day. Sometimes they're with the individual 24/7. Sometimes they meet the individual coming in from a treatment center and introduce them to 12-step programs. But they don't do the steps like a sponsor would. And then a recovery coach is different from a therapist, that we don't get involved with what happened in the past. We work with today. We work on recovery today. And let that stuff from the past be handled by a clinician.
But as I understand this, though, the stuff in the past that's a prerequisite for benefiting from a recovery coach is that someone has gone through treatment.
It is good that they go through treatment, but it doesn't mean that that's the only individual that I would work with.
Oh, is that right? So, so if someone said, I need, rather than a structured kind of typical clinical approach to my problem, I need somebody with me in closer working closer with me. So you take people like that?
Yeah. A lot of times I would be called by a treatment center to work with someone right out of the treatment center door, take them home, introduce them to 12-step programs, and live with that person 24/7 for a weekend, maybe a week. And then there's other times that people will call me up, and they might have 3, 4, maybe 6 years of recovery, and they've hit a rough spot. And they want to get a little infusion of extra help.
A little about your background. How did you get into this, and what are your credentials for coaching recovery?
Well, 23 years of sobriety. Not that that's a requirement, but it certainly does help. You know, that experiential learning, how I did it, I can share that with other people. And then when I was 50.
No, that's next month.
I decided to change careers. And I had the advantage of having a lot of executive coaches help me in my career previous. So I decided to go back to graduate school at University of Pennsylvania to be an executive coach. And so at the same time, I'm going to meetings. And I'm like looking at the people in the meetings and knowing what I'm learning at Penn about coaching, saying, you know, there's a lot of people in these rooms that could use a coach.
Now, the master's program you're taking at Penn had to do with coaching executives in areas not related to drugs and alcohol, right?
Absolutely. Right. In fact, at the time, there was no such thing as recovery coaching. Mm-hmm. It had been defined, but not implemented as part of a treatment or recovery model.
So it was a program, as I understand it, that gets high-functioning, hard-charging executives to sharpen their game, as it were.
Right, right.
And it's from that experience you begin to go, you know what, that's all great, but part of what's maybe hurting these people from achieving these executive goals or managerial goals is their drug and alcohol problems, right?
Exactly.
So you have one of those aha moments.
Yeah. And, you know, I look in the rooms and there's a lot of very high-functioning alcoholics and drug addicts. And what was stopping them from really getting to the next level was their alcohol and drug abuse.
Do you find that there's a percentage of people who just got into recovery that want to make an absolute 180 in their careers and don't want to go back to the old office, let's say?
Well, there are a lot of people who do. You're right. There's a lot of people who are forced to. You know, it's kind of hard to explain why you're out of work for 90 days.
Right.
You know, in a treatment center. Sometimes people don't accept that. And no matter what, you know, EAP comes in, all that. But there are a lot of people who realize that maybe being a salesman on the road 36, 40 weeks out of the year isn't the best thing for their drinking.
For the recovery.
Right? Yeah, and for their recovery. And so, you know, they say, hey, maybe I'll give this up.
Yeah, it's a fascinating concept because as anybody, even with a cursory understanding of recovery, knows that one of the articles of faith is that you've got to change these triggers in your lives. The three big, of course, people, places, and things. Now, that sounds wonderful on paper, but if you apply, if you drop it into the context of someone's career, well, wait a minute. The people, the places, and the things you want me to change are how I make a living. You're right. Salesman on the road might be exactly the wrong requirement. In fact, as I recall, Robin Williams, before he died, he said that one of his relapses occurred when he was forced back out on the road. Or to make a movie. When he was away from his family, he found himself back in that context where he would he'd get the cravings again to drink. So it's perfectly understandable. Some people need a more extensive involvement.
Also, I would imagine in the medical field, I mean, I see this in meetings, you know, you hear, you know, most specifically anesthesiologists or nurses that had such access to the narcotics have a real difficult time with going back to work, and they have to be monitored on probably on a daily basis at the hospital. Do you find that?
Well, there are special programs just for the medical technicians and the nurses that they have even their own 12-step programs and their own treatment programs that are specific for their demographic. And even, you know, the first recovery coach was Bob Timmons, ex-con heroin addict from San Diego, who took Aerosmith on the road and kept them sober in the 80s.
Well, let me tell you something. There's a guy that should have got himself a Nobel Prize in something. To keep an entire rock band clean and sober on a tour is amazing. Well, that's what we're... You know, listen, and it's no more difficult, it would seem to me, than if you're talking about a suburban housewife or a teenage kid who's strung out on opiates. Mm-hmm. These cravings and those triggers are prevalent. This disease is insidious. It never sleeps. So it's easy to see why a 24/7 coach might be necessary. Melissa Colleen is our guest. She is a recovery coach. She's written a book called Recovery Coaching, A Guide to Coaching People in Recovery from Addiction. We'll tell you how to get that soon, straight ahead. But can I assume from the title of the book that people can read your book, for instance, and learn skills that would help them become coaches?
Yes.
And that would be a great idea, particularly in the context of the families of people in recovery. Now, the entire goal of recovery coaching is to prevent. Well, I shouldn't say that. One of the goals, probably the overwhelming goal, is to prevent relapse.
Mm-hmm.
And here's the. I mean, it's not a dirty little secret. It's understood. The relapse rate is astonishingly high.
90%. 90% of the people that come out of treatment will relapse within the first 3 months. And of that group, almost 30% of them will relapse within the first 2 weeks. So that's where recovery coaches, that concept of recovery coach really started.
What is the longest amount of time you've ever spent with one client?
I just spent a month with a client out in California.
A month.
Is that a typical amount of time? Can people, it's like anything else. Look, using the strict term coaching, you know, a coach can take you to a place, show you ways, whether it's football or baseball or recovery. A coach can take you to a certain place, show you how to do things, what skills are necessary to achieve your goal, and then back away. I mean, that's the back away in the sense that they don't have to coach you up all the time. Now you've got the skill set. Is that the same? Can the same be said for recovery coaches?
Yes, and it depends on where the client is. So if I have a client who has been 90, 180 days in a treatment center, they forget their ATM password. They forget how to drive a car. They forget what the layout of their shopping grocery store is. They forget that Tuesday is trash day.
So central to what you're talking about here in recovery coaching is not just, hey, don't drink, hey, don't do drugs. It's, as you said, here's how you get up in the morning. Here's how you order your day. Here's how you figure out what you have to do. I mean, literally, the person in early recovery has to, in a sense, recreate how to live, correct?
Yes, because they came from a point of living in chaos, and that chaos made them drink. So you want to get rid of the chaos so they don't drink. And that means washing the dishes every night, making sure that the apartment is clean, making sure that the cat gets fed.
So the life's, I mean, simple life skills that everybody else takes for advantage.
For granted.
Checkbook, writing checks.
Paying bills on time. Simple things, but in an addict's life, it was chaos. You know, whatever fire started got put out. And oftentimes, the place was a mess. Things were forgotten, like bills.
Melissa, the fact that they don't have any skills in this regard when they're trying to remain sober leads to relapses, correct? Because the fear and the confusion and anxiety leads you right back to drugs or alcohol?
The chaos does. The feeling of powerlessness, the feeling of being less than. How come I can't get my act together? You know, here I am, a VP of a major company. I should be able to do this. But the chaos that they've been living in, the fog that the drug or the booze have given them for so many years, just stops that orderliness.
Melissa, do you find a difference between working with somebody, let's say, as a CEO of a corporation, as opposed to just a regular low-level management guy? Because I would think that the person with a CEO position would have some kind of entitlement, arrogance, I'm better than, those kind of issues. Do they come up?
Different issues come up for different people at different times. But just that ability to eliminate the chaos is the same rule of thumb whether you're dealing with someone who just got their first place to live, who was homeless for the past 6 years, or a CEO who basically has somebody to come in and clean for them every day.
Yeah, in a sense, they have a kind of perfect recipe for messing up. The kind of skills you just described, they may not have to worry about because they have someone to do it for them. Melissa, what has your experience as a recovery coach taught you about the very nature of the kind of irony regarding high functioning addicts? What do you know? What do you think you know? What have you observed that would allow someone to be successful in business, but still all kinds of messed up drugs and alcohol? It goes on a lot, right?
Oh, it goes on a lot. I think the one characteristic that I find is the level of their self-esteem. Often the drugs and the alcohol was a front, a way to hide a low self-esteem. Many times individuals who are doing a massive amount of drugs and alcohol are living in two worlds, and that those two worlds are very separate, but it's driving them crazy, hiding that other world.
Yeah, it can also, the fact that they're high functioning can also prolong the problem, because I suppose in addition to all the other denials that are that kick in as a result of the disease, they're able to go, listen, whatever it is, at least it's not affecting the business. At least I've got the house. At least they still think I'm a good this and that. And it just prolongs the problem, right?
And it's denial because it is affecting the business. It is affecting the marriage. It is affecting the house and the kids. They just don't see it.
Melissa Killeen is our guest in the studio. Melissa is a she's an author, and she's written a book called Recovery Coaching, A Guide to Coaching People in Recovery from Addictions. We're going to have more, a lot more from her straight ahead. Don't go away.
If you own or manage a business of any type, then you cannot afford to be without an Employee Assistance Program, or EAP. Life Management Services is a leading regional provider of EAPs. They're a low-cost and effective benefit addition designed to provide confidential and experienced assistance to help your employees and their families resolve personal problems that affect the employee's health, well-being, or job performance. In addition to assessment and referral services, the EAP provides information, education, and consultation, both independently and in concert with other professional resources. Life Management Services consultants are experts in assessment and referrals. They work with clients to find the most effective and affordable solutions to problems. All EAP consultant staff have a minimum master's degree in social work or counseling, as well as many years of clinical experience dealing with a wide range of personal and workplace concerns. Contact Life Management Services at 855-327-5433 or lmseap.com. That's 855-327-5433 or lmseap.com.
Nice turn, Jill. Toby, isn't your sister doing a nice job as a new driver?
Sure. Hey, by the way, Dad, have you ever smoked marijuana? It's getting legalized everywhere, so it's okay to do now, right?
OMG, Toby, are you serious?
It's not legal everywhere, and it's not legal for kids at all.
This conversation can happen anywhere, and your kids need to know the facts. 76% of teens agree that with legalization, teenagers may be more likely to experiment with marijuana.
Legal or not, marijuana is harmful to teens' developing brains and can cause permanent damage. It could also cause heart and respiratory problems.
I heard it could lead to using other drugs.
61% of teens agree that teenagers who use marijuana are more likely to try heroin.
But marijuana has been around forever.
Sure, but the type that's out there now is stronger than when I was younger, so it's really important for you two to be careful.
I never thought about that.
Well, now's the time to start thinking about it.
Now's the time to talk to your kids about substance use. Learn more at rosecrans.org.
Founded in 1948, the Malvern Institute, they continue to be a leader in the field of addiction treatment. Now offering two inpatient treatment centers in Malvern and Willow Grove, as well as counseling centers throughout the Tri-County area. The Malvern Institute, a respected presence in the field. They provide an individual-based model of clinical care coupled with a 12-step approach, and then followed by continued engagement and monitoring for at least 90 days. Please call or visit to arrange help for yourself or a loved one. 866-455-8732. You're going to be able to speak to one of their trained professional admission staff. Courtesy transportation can be provided as well. Most major insurances are also accepted. For more information, we urge you to visit them. You can go to their website, www.malverninstitute.com, and follow them on Facebook. The Malvern Institute, providing a foundation for lifelong recovery since 1948. 866-455-8732. 866-455-8732. Call today.
It takes 12 years to create a graduate. It takes about the same time to create a dropout. The difference between a child becoming one or the other could be you. Studies prove that reading to a child regularly dramatically improves reading skills. And kids who read well by third grade are four times as likely to graduate. So United Way is calling for 1 million volunteers over the next 3 years. We're asking you to step up, make a pledge, tutor a child who needs help, mentor a kid who needs someone on their side, volunteer to read to children, make a difference. Because when a child advances, we all advance. Entire communities improve. The path to success or failure starts long before graduation day. And the difference between a graduate and a dropout could be you. Be a reader, tutor, or mentor. Give. Advocate. Volunteer. Live United. Take the pledge. Go to liveunited.org now. brought to you by United Way and the Ad Council.
Hi, I'm David, and you're listening to Clean and Sober on WWDB AM 860.
It is with great pleasure that I welcome you to today's graduation ceremony. Students, when you hear the reason or reasons for your absences throughout the years, please exit the auditorium without your high school diploma. Once you've exited, remove your cap and gown and proceed into the unknown. Too tired. Family trip. Part-time job. Helping around the house. Sick day. Starting the holidays early. Just because.
Starting in the sixth grade, students who miss 18 days or more of school in a year for any reason will fall behind and risk not graduating high school. How many days of school has your child missed this year? Absences add up. Keep track at boostattendance.org today. Brought to you by the U.S. Army and the Ad Council.
Hi, I'm Casey Duffy. I'm Clean and Sober, and you're listening to Clean and Sober on WWDB.
Yes, we certainly hope you are listening to Clean and Sober with Gary Hendler and myself, Steve Martorano. We're here on Friday morning, WWDB AM 860. Talk about the disease of addiction and methods to recover. Today we're talking about recovery coaching. Fascinating stuff. Been reading a lot about this. Saw an article about 3 or 4 months ago in the New York Times about people in Manhattan who thought their son, their 18, 19-year-old son, would benefit from one-on-one kind of coaching. It's an interesting concept. We're going to talk about that straight ahead. If you have been through anything like this, or if there is someone in your life who is, in effect, acting as a coach, and you'd like to share that with us, we're live on Friday mornings. And to prove that, we throw the phone number out, and maybe you call. We know it's a tough topic, but we find first person that counts very powerful. So if the spirit moves you, 610-664-4100 is how you reach Clean and Sober. 610-664-4100. Recovery coach Melissa Killeen is in the studio with us. Her book is called Recovery Coaching, A Guide to Coaching People in Recovery from Addictions. Melissa, let's talk a little bit about who benefits. First of all, who's a good candidate for coaching? Is it everybody, or are some people, more likely candidates can benefit more from coaching? What's your experience tell you?
Well, coaching is a very, very broad topic, and I know you're focusing on recovery coaching, but when I was an executive, I got coaching on Excel spreadsheets, how to write a good letter, how to get through conflict. Conflict management. And I was just a middle-level executive. So as far as I'm concerned, coaching can help anyone who is in recovery. And the fortunate thing about it is you don't have to pay somebody $1,000 a day to be your recovery coach. You can walk into a recovery support center and be assigned a coach and get one for free.
Where I've never heard of those. Where are they?
Well, one of the biggest is right here in Center City, Philadelphia. It's PROACT, and they have 5 locations here in southeastern Pennsylvania.
Every week we know the PROACT lot. Every week we find another service that they provide. So tell us how it works. How does it work?
So, well, PROACT has 5 different locations, but you can go to their Lehigh Valley or Lehigh Avenue location and say, you know, I'm an addict. I want to get clean. I need help. And they'll sit you down right then and there with a recovery coach, free of charge.
Are those people, are many of them volunteers who do this coaching?
They're all volunteers, but they've gone through a course, a certification course, that PROACT runs 4 or 5 times a year. It's a week-long course, and they are certified recovery coaches.
How is this different than a sponsored in a typical AA context?
Well, there's not too many sponsors that go through a certified sponsorship course. You know, There's really not a classroom facility that teaches a sponsor how to be a sponsor. A sponsor learns how to be a sponsor from their sponsor. And so that's all well and good. There's nothing wrong with that. But the recovery coaches are trained on how to guide someone through recovery with the clinical models that work for therapists and treatment centers. So they have a little bit more than experiential knowledge. They know how it works.
So you would certainly recommend to anybody actively looking for a recovery coach that they ask about credentials and training.
Yeah, credentials are really important. And then also the difference between a sponsor and a recovery coach. A sponsor will do the steps with someone if they're following the AANA OA program, and a recovery coach won't do that.
Why not?
Well, it's against the traditions of many of the 12-step support groups that you receive money for doing a 12-step process, which is like the steps. So when I take someone to a 12-step meeting, I don't charge for that hour. I am there just as if I was another recovering alcoholic.
Now, there's no laws or prohibitions on this. It's just part of the tradition of AA that no one commercialized the 12 steps.
Right.
But if someone said they were a licensed or an accredited recovery coach and they were going to help you through the 12-step program, and you decided that was okay, that would be between you and the coach, correct?
It would be between you and the coach, and I think that any coach who would not be charging, like the coaches that come from PROACT that are not charging for their services, would naturally take someone through the steps or take someone to a 12-step program.
You know, I am, you know, totally supportive of all the 12-step programs. Sometimes I have difficulty with, you know, some of the philosophies, the traditions that can get in the way of helping somebody.
Well, I think that's where, and correct me if I'm wrong, Melissa, where coaching can fill up that gap. Because as we know, many, many people do not even get to an AA meeting because they find it either cultish or religious in nature. Are those people obviously better candidates for coaching? I mean, are they the kind of people that might need a coach?
Well, as far as coaches are concerned, they come to where the client is. Let's say they are not going to walk into an AA meeting because they're afraid of being seen by somebody in their neighborhood.
Mm-hmm.
That's probably the most frequent reason that people don't go to AA meetings. Yeah. So you work with that client where they're at. Sometimes people have the God thing. So you introduce them to Buddhist recovery, or you introduce them to the myriad of other 12-step support groups that are not God-oriented. And then, of course, there's a lot of different ways to get sober. You don't have to be part of a 12-step recovery program. So a recovery coach has to know all these different aspects. And it says in my book, I think I have a whole chapter just dedicated to other support groups that aren't AA, NA.
Well, one of the things we've learned, or I've learned anyway, from doing these shows for a couple of years now, is that with regard to treatment, one size does not fit all, and that there's a number of ways to get a sober. The idea is finding the one that works for you. So it would seem to me a smart coach would coach to the client rather than have the client come to your technique, right?
Right, right. And even Bill W. said there's many roads to recovery. And so it doesn't matter to the coach where the client is coming from. What the coach wants is something to grab, something that the client embraces, something that the client can say, yeah, I get this.
You know, for anyone listening who goes, well, you know, this is great. This sounds like a real first world deal here. You know, the swells get a coach and the rest of us are, you know, left adrift. So it's good to hear that you can go into a place like PROACT and say, I don't have any money. I need help.
Right.
I need somebody with
me. Right. And in Jersey, there's two recovery support centers, one in Voorhees. It's called the Living Proof Recovery Support Center. There's another one in Hamilton. As I understand, there's two or three that are opening up in Montgomery County and Chester County. So they're starting to open up on a regular basis because the funding from the federal government and the state government is giving them the operation capital that they need to open up.
Melissa, you had told me earlier what your fee is, and you know, you can say what that is. But your clientele is would be a very, very upscale clientele.
Mm-hmm.
Do you take insurance?
No.
Insurance won't cover this, will it?
Not yet, which is very slow in being adopted. Right now, there are recovery coaches that work with individuals that have mental health diagnosis, and Medicare and Medicaid cover their stipends. However, addiction recovery coaches are not covered by any health care as yet. It is in the Obamacare guidelines that eventually it will be, but it's not in place as yet.
Who are we talking about here? Mostly men, mostly women, children, families? Do all of these groups benefit from, or are coaching available to those groups?
I refer a lot of my families to a family recovery coach. I don't work with adolescents, but I find that adolescents benefit tremendously from a recovery coach. They become a mentor, a guide, just in the same way, you know, a parent would be, but with more knowledge. So it doesn't matter whether you're a man or woman, high income or homeless, child, family.
Let me ask you, how does a homeless person pay you?
Homeless person goes to a recovery support center.
Okay.
How do you advise someone who's listening now thinking, you know, I've relapsed a couple of times here now. The idea of another treatment program and just, I don't know. How do you advise that person on whether they would benefit from coaching? Are there some steps they should go through to try to figure it out?
Well, you just defined the perfect client for a recovery coach. A recovery coaching client is often that person who has stumbled many, many, many times. And it's not unusual for an individual to have, in the course of a 3-year recovery, 5 to 8 visits to a treatment center.
Yeah, no, we hear those statistics all the time. I mean, the relapse is a reality.
A reality. And you can't get to the point of your recovery until you learn from the various relapse. So if you have what we call a difficult client, somebody who has stumbled quite a lot, they're the perfect client for a recovery coach. Somebody who is like on them like white on rice.
When we come back, we'll pick up on just that issue, because I'm wondering whether to what extent tough love plays a part in recovery coaching, mm-hmm. and whether a family member makes a good or maybe not so good coach. We'll explore all that ahead with recovery coach Melissa Killeen. She's our guest on Clean and Sober. Stay with us, please.
Addiction to alcohol and or drugs often has serious medical, occupational, educational, familial, psychological, and social consequences. Fortunately, there is a place you can go with the help you need and deserve. Rehab After Work, your substance abuse experts, are a licensed intensive outpatient drug and alcohol treatment provider, which has been helping addicted individuals find recovery for well over 2 decades. They can provide individualized treatment programs so that people can get the help they need on an outpatient basis and continue to work. Their staff of highly trained professionals include certified addictions counselors and licensed professional counselors with specialized training in the treatment of addiction. Their staff is dedicated to helping people that are struggling with chemical dependency. For confidential and immediate help, please call 1-800-238-HELP or visit their website, rehabafterwork.com. Again, that's 1-800-238-HELP or rehabafterwork.com. Start your path to recovery today. Rehab After Work is a member of Onward Behavioral Health.
So, who's going to do what? Flashlights?
Nowhere to be found.
Emergency supply kits?
Not packed.
What about blankets?
We have an old towel.
Cell phones?
May not work.
Emergency water?
Not a drop.
Perfect. We all know where we're meeting if we're separated.
The library.
On Jones' house.
The bus stop.
And I'll be waiting here wondering where you all are. Great. It sounds like we don't have a plan.
Winging It is not an emergency plan. Make sure your kids know what to do during an emergency, who to call, where to meet, what to pack. Visit ready.gov/kids for tips and information. Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
Every day, the men and women of the United States Marine Corps demonstrate their commitment to defend the American way of life. Since 1775, we have served our nation as a force in readiness.
Get some rear security.
From combat operations to humanitarian assistance in every corner of the world. No matter where the mission takes us today, or wherever our country needs us tomorrow, we always remember the land we call home. As Marines, we take a stand for each other, for our nation, for us all, the few, the proud, the Marines.
Are you thinking about getting your GED diploma? Well, here at the GED Pep Talk Center, we've got a number of pep talks that can motivate you.
Sometimes things don't always turn out the way you want them to.
You know that feeling? People look at you and don't believe in you.
You want some gentle encouragement. Then you're on your way to your GED diploma and a better life.
But I know they're probably just a little bit nervous.
You can find it in yourself to take that first step.
You can improve your future.
You can do this. I know you can.
You need to start pushing yourself.
Now get your game face on and take the first step towards a better life.
Hurry up. Don't make me repeat myself.
Whatever level of motivation you need to get your GED diploma, we've got a pep talk that's right for you. Call 1-877-38-YOUR-GED or visit yourged.org for your pep talk and find free GED classes in your area. GED is a registered trademark of the American Council on Education, brought to you by Dollar General Literacy Foundation and the Ad Council.
Hey, this is Willie Potts, and I listen to the Clean and Sober Show on WWDB 860 AM.
When I was diagnosed with breast cancer, both of my daughters were pregnant, and everything I was looking forward to turned into everything I was going to miss. First words, first steps. Today, those babies are three. I'm with them all the time. I don't know what's next, but I know I'm here today.
A Susan G. Komen grant helped pay for Atlantia surgery, and today she's caring for her grandchildren. Help save lives. Visit IamSusanGKomen.org. A public service message from Susan G. Komen.
I'm Harris, and I listen to Clean and Sober on WWDB 860 on the AM dial.
Clean and Sober, the name of the program, Friday mornings here on WWDB. From 10 o'clock until 11, we talk about the disease of addiction, the road to recovery. Gary Handler, Steve Martorano, our guest in the studio, Melissa Killeen. It's fascinating stuff. She is a recovery coach. Her training, her background, began as sort of teaching the organizational person, coaching them up to efficiency. And it was during the course of her studies there at Penn doing that that she realized there was a deeper level of coaching that could be achieved here. And she went on to get accredited in coaching people through their recovery, a very difficult time. We all know the unfortunate statistics about relapse. Relapse is all too common, but not to be so feared that you don't even try to get sober. Relapse is a part of recovery, in effect, not an inevitable part, but a part. And so she coaches people through that. Her book is called Recovery Coaching, and she's with us now to talk about it. Before we went to the break, Melissa, we were talking about to what extent does a coach have to be Vince Lombardi, or can he be a little new agey like our guy? Can he be more like Chip Kelly, or does he have to be Vince Lombardi? And do parents or family members make better coaches than maybe strangers?
Well, the qualities of a recovery coach are many. And they are anything from being a friend to a cop to a chauffeur to really getting down and dirty with telling someone, you know, like, open up your purse, dump it out, let me see, let's go through all of your closets, let's open up your drawers. They're looking for stuff. They're looking for contraband. So we can be pretty Vince Lombardi. I would say even more so, to the point that we go in and our first job is to sterilize a room, an apartment, strip it down, you know, lift up the ceiling tiles and look for stash. So we can be really very tough. But at the same time, we hold somebody's hand while they're crying.
You know, it's an amazing relationship that's going on here now, because in the traditional concept of coaching is predicated on the belief that both parties, the coach and the person being coached, have the same goal. they have the same goal. That's not the case going in with a recovering drug or alcohol abuser. The coach is there to get them to a level of sobriety, but they're very often working against that, correct? How do you begin to break down that so that they buy in? Okay, I'm here to help you.
Well, there's some assessments that we do, and one of the biggest assessments that we do, and this pulls from the executive coaching, is what stage of change is that person in? And it's simple. We ask 4 or 5 questions. And if that person isn't ready to change, I have to be honest with them. Why should you be paying me money if you're not ready?
So you've had circumstances where you go, I don't think you're ready for this kind of treatment.
Yeah.
And what about family members as coaches? Is that common, not common?
Oftentimes, recovery coaches brought in for situations that normally you would think would be just fine for a mom or a dad to take over, like taking the daughter or son from the house to the treatment center on the airplane or driving them there. Well, you know what? That's the worst situation. You really need to have somebody there to say, this is what you're going to be looking at. This is what you're going to be doing. And to prime them for what treatment is going to be all about. Mom or dad are going to sit there and rehash the intervention.
Mom, and very often they are not yet ready to be helpful in that regard because they're, in fact, still part of the problem. We know that enabling is a real big part of this disease, correct?
Right. And that's actually what's so great about a family recovery coach is that they also work with the family to anticipate somebody coming back from treatment or going through the process of recovery and identifying this is how they're going to change or this is what you have to anticipate you changing.
So you're saying they need a coach as well sometimes?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I really advocate, especially if it's a consistent situation that the person goes to treatment, does very well, comes home and relapses, goes back to treatment, comes home, relapses. And so that tells you something right away. What's happening at home?
Right.
Do you advocate family members going to Al-Anon or Nor-Anon?
I do. And there's also CODA. Mm-hmm. And there's Adult Children of Alcoholics.
What is CODA? I don't
know. Codependence Anonymous.
Okay. All right.
There's all different forms of enabling and all different 12-step programs that can help. But one thing I do strongly advocate is that the family members themselves seek therapy.
What is your position about interventions, and what role, if any, do coaches play in interventions?
Well, I'm a strong advocate of the ARISE intervention process, and
can you describe that briefly for us?
ARISE looks at the whole process of bringing someone into a treatment center, and they don't stop there. They're really advocates or coaches as well. So they'll have perhaps a month before an intervention. They'll work with the family. They'll write the letters. They'll script out how the intervention is going to work. They'll talk about inviting the alcoholic or drug addict to participate. And then the intervention is held, and then either an outside recovery coach or an ARISE interventionist will escort that person to treatment and then contact that person throughout the treatment. And then when the treatment is over, the ARISE interventionist takes that person home and then works with that individual just like a recovery coach throughout the period of time that they decide is necessary. And cognitive change takes 60 to 90 days. So usually that's how long a recovery coach will work with them.
You know, it sounds, sitting here, you listen to this and you go, wow, is that a lot of heavy lifting? And that's
heavy
a lot of work, and it never seems to end. And then you step back and take a moment and go, well, this is a disease. I mean, think about, no one would try to cut corners on their cancer treatment. No one would look for a fast way around diabetes. So this is what we're looking at when we're looking at this disease. This is how labor-intensive it is, and this is what it takes.
And I often tell my clients, sit back and enjoy it because it's going to be 5 years. And I tell the parents and I tell the family the same thing. It's dedicated
you
five
mean,
years.
You mean the entire process?
The process, not that it's going to be perfect at the end of 5 years, but if it goes smoothly and you follow these various guidelines of a therapist, a coach, going to an outpatient program, and 12-step meetings or some kind of mutual support network.
After 5 years, you will have a solid foundation that perhaps will be successful for you long-term so that you might wind up where you guys are. You're 20-some years. Gary's over 30 years. Mm-hmm. This is what the recovering addict or alcoholic is confronted with, and it ought to be I was going to say sobering, but it's just a reminder that what we're talking about here is a lifelong commitment to getting clean and sober, mm-hmm. and not, unfortunately, like so many people think, well, 30 days, 90 days, I'm okay.
No.
But when you say 5 years or whatever, it doesn't have to be hard labor the whole time.
No, you're building a foundation. I said building a foundation, if I understood Melissa. You're building a foundation. You're doing the proper work for 5 years, and then you'll have something under your, that you can put your feet on.
Yes.
Yeah. Now, there are some people who, boom, they put down a drug.
And they're done.
No problem. They're done. But it has been, there are clinical models that are laid out that show the recovery model, which most of the recovery coaches follow, therapy, 12-step or mutual support program, group therapy, either in the form of an inpatient or outpatient program, is really the best way to go about that.
Because after all, on the level you're talking about, personal coaching, these are the hard cases.
The cases
that don't require this you never see. People you just described who mature out of this, they grow out of this problem.
Mm-hmm.
Move on. It's no longer destroying their life. The people who we're talking about, the people that we try to appeal to in the program, are the hard cases. They're the ones that it's not going to be easy. It's going to be lifelong, and this is what it takes. Clean and Sober, the name of the program. We'll be back.
I'm in almost every school bus and classroom. I go to school with your children. We say the Pledge of Allegiance together. You see me around the neighborhood, and you've told me I'm a pretty good kid. Well, I'm one out of every four children in America, and I'm struggling with hunger. My teacher tells me, in this country, we could grow up and be whatever we want. I want to grow up and be someone who doesn't go to bed hungry. Please visit feedingamerica.org today and find your local food bank for ways to help. Every dollar you donate helps provide 7 meals for kids like me, quietly struggling with hunger. Together, we're Feeding America. Brought to you by Feeding America and the Ad Council.
To help fight hunger in the Delaware Valley and to find your local food bank, visit feedingamerica.org. That's feedingamerica.org.
The Malvern Institute, they continue to be a leader in the field of addiction treatment. Founded in 1948, the Malvern Institute is a respected presence in the field. They provide individual-based models of clinical care. They couple it with a 12-step approach, followed up by continued engagement and monitoring for at least 90 days. You should call them for more information. 866-455-8732. That's 866-455-8732. 866-455-8732. Most major insurances are accepted. And for more information, you can visit them at their website, www.malverninstitute.com, and follow them on Facebook. The Malvern Institute, providing a foundation for lifelong recovery since 1948. 866-455-8732.
My dad came to live with us last month, and it's going pretty well.
I feel like I never have time for myself.
With him being around more, it really lets us catch up on things.
His memory isn't what it used to be.
We get up and we have coffee.
He usually wakes up at 4:30.
Then we go for a walk.
He needs lots of my attention.
I do need to keep an eye on his medications, though. That's important.
Sometimes I feel like a pharmacist.
I'd say John and the kids are adjusting. pretty well.
They honestly have no idea what I'm going through.
It can be a little challenging.
Help.
But so far, so good.
I could really use just a little help.
For those dealing with the daily struggles of caring for a loved one, we hear you. That's why AARP created a community with experts and other caregivers for advice, tips, and support. Together, let's help each other better care for ourselves and the ones we love. Visit aarp.org/caregiving. A public service announcement brought to you by AARP and the Ad Council.
It's Thursday night, and you're grabbing drinks with some friends. Started off with a pitcher for the table, which quickly becomes two. There's pool. And there's the photo booth.
All right, everybody, squeeze in. Say cheese!
Followed naturally by an order of wings. And another.
Can we get some extra ranch sauce?
Then there's the ceremonial nightcap.
So what are we doing this weekend?
And lastly, it's back to the car, which, if you're buzzed...
6-8-9-10-4.
...could be the most expensive night of your life. Getting pulled over for buzz driving could cost you around $10,000 in fines, legal fees, and increased insurance rates. Nothing kills a buzz like getting pulled over for buzz driving, because buzz driving is drunk driving. Brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration and the Ad Council.
In May of 2000, Dave Okarnikar skied the full descent of Mount Everest. Every day, somewhere in the world, someone base jumps off a bridge, an antenna, a building, or a mountain peak. At Mavericks, surfers brave 60-foot faces and a punishing rock bottom to ride the world's largest waves. Across suburbia, skateboarders transform curves, stairs, swimming pools, and cement flood basins into Everests of their own making. In the old days, we called these people adventurers. Now, we call them extreme sports enthusiasts. There's a group of people who jump out of helicopters into 30-foot ocean swells, race vehicles through war zones, chase hurricanes, fly through walls of fire, and maneuver zodiacs through flash floods, all in an effort to save lives. We call these people the Air Force Reserve. The Air Force Reserve. Live the extreme.
Hi, I'm Beverly.
And Rick.
And you are listening to Clean and Sober on WWDB.
Well, welcome back, everybody. This has been a great program. We want to thank, again, Melissa Colleen, who is our guest in the studio and the author of the book Recovery Coaching, A Guide to Coaching People in Recovery from Addiction. How do they get your book, Melissa?
Amazon. Just go to Amazon Books, type in Recovery Coaching. It's the first book that comes in. And it's the only book on recovery coaching, telling people how to be a recovery coach.
And if people wanted to reach you directly, this number works for them? Or is this the number you give out, or would you prefer them go through your website?
Go through my website, mkrecoverycoaching.com. That's M is in Melissa, K is Colleen, recoverycoaching spelled out, .com.
Finally, what about, we don't have enough time to get into it now, and we don't really spend a lot of time doing this on the program when we ought to. There's a category of addictions that are referred to, as I understand it, as process addictions. They are most famously gambling and the sex. Do you do any work in those areas, and do coaches help in that regard?
Coaches really do help in, sometimes they're called process addictions, sometimes they're behavioral addictions, but coaches are very helpful in these addictions because they're so slippery. You know, there's no substance involved. So especially when it comes to these kinds of addictions, that behavior modification is very important, and that's where a recovery coach can help.
Look at you.
I'm speechless.
Look at Gary. Finally, I don't know whether we did touch upon the you did talk about the interventions. I didn't understand. I want to get back to. Does a coach do the intervention, or is that a separate sort of technique that needs to be employed?
I recommend hiring an interventionist. Just like certification for coaches, interventionists need certification. And so I only go to certified interventionists because it's really a skill. And it deals with a lot of psychological things going on, much more than just the certification that a recovery coach would receive. So I recommend the ARISE method of intervention.
Terrific. Melissa Killeen, thanks so much. The book, again, is called Recovery Coaching, A Guide to Coaching People in Recovery from Addictions. You can find it on Amazon. Thanks so much for coming by.
Thank you, Steve. Thanks, Gary.
Gary, have a good weekend.
You do the same, guys.
Tim Halloran produced, and we'll be back next Friday for more Clean and Sober. Have a great weekend. Bye-bye.